You're listening to an encore presentation of LA Catholic Morning, heard Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. with encores at 9 p.m., along with full episodes on archangelradio.com, Archangel Radio phone app, and on YouTube.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Bright and chipper, right, Todd?
Woohoo!
Yes, I'm trying to wake up.
Todd Sylvester's there. Mike Romano, Reed Hodges is here. It's Monday. It's a little cool. I was pleasantly surprised we still had another cold front in us in Lower Alabama here.
Yeah.
I thought we were done, but
I'm sure Max is going to be loving this.
Oh, yeah, he's living the life. Well, my twin sister came to town, Kathleen. So
We mentioned it Friday.
Yes, and that's why I wasn't here.
And your plans.
And
we're going directly to Home Depot.
We did. We got the spring garden planted. And it's like, you know, those saints that can bilocate and do a couple things at once. That's my life this week. Oh. She's over there. She's taking the dog for a walk while I'm at work. She's cleaning up some bills from dad's estate stuff for me.
She wanted to do on a little mini vacation with her sister.
I know. Nice. I have a little stack.
Brutal, Ellen.
Also,
brutal.
She also gets a little pickleball today.
Yeah, she's coming to play pickleball with us.
Okay, there you go.
So, it's a good week for me. So
amen.
I have no complaints.
I just hate that I'm going to have to take her down today.
Oh,
talking smack.
You don't know my sister. She's highly competitive.
Wow.
And well-trained up in pickleball.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
So that's good. I don't even know if we have a saint of the day today.
No, there's not.
Okay, good. See?
It's wide open.
Todd is
yesterday, although he was eclipsed, was St. Anselm, which is pretty awesome. He's a humongous theologian in the church.
Anselm.
A-N-S-E-L-M.
We hear that name more often here. Todd should have 20 kids. We got 20 more names in the pipeline.
I think we were good with 10.
Okay.
10 was good.
We'll open the day and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, perfect light of the blessed, by whose gift we celebrate the Paschal mysteries on earth, bring us, we pray, to rejoice in the full measure of your grace for ages unending. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Ike's Parasail, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Perdido Key. Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company serving Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. To make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail, come fly away.
News headlines for Monday, April 22nd. The head of the Israeli military intelligence has resigned on Monday over the failures surrounding Hamas' unprecedented October 7th attack, the military said, becoming the first senior figure to step down over his role in the deadliest assault in Israel's history. Students at Columbia University were told in an overnight statement that all classes will be held virtually on Monday as anti-Israel protesters have taken over the campus. The Columbia University president then condemned anti-Semitic language used by protesters and the intimidating and harassing behavior on the campus. President Joe Biden is set to announce an Earth Day grant of $7 billion for residential solar projects that will power nearly a million low-income households, the White House said. It's due to be part of the Environmental Protection Agency's Solar for All grant.
I have questions. Go ahead.
Opening statements are set to begin Monday morning in the case of the people of the state of New York versus Donald Trump, the first criminal trial of a former president. Former National Enquirer David Pecker is also expected to take the stand as the first witness for the prosecution. That's going to be today. The NBA and NHL playoffs are underway.
Yes.
And so a lot of exciting things going on in sports, with baseball going on as well. And the NFL draft is coming up this week, too. So a lot of people were pretty disappointed in the opening nights of the NBA playoffs. The favorite seed won every single game in the first round there. And most of them were blowouts.
I think that happened in hockey, too.
Yeah.
So I was watching. Why were they
hockey.
Disappointed? I
mean, four
isn't,
games.
Isn't that what's expected?
Wasn't very exciting.
Okay.
Oh, you go pretty deep in the early rounds there.
Okay.
On the line with us is regular guest David Bonagora. He's an adjunct professor at St. Joseph Seminary, and we are looking at his article in thecatholicthing.org, Christian Nationalism and the Catholic Thing. Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Todd and Ellen. Great to talk to you.
Great.
Always great talking to you, except sometimes when I read your articles, I kind of turn my head, David, because I did not know I was a Christian nationalist until I read this.
You too.
Yes.
Wow, everybody is, at least according to some definition.
Now, that term Christian nationalist, they're trying to use it in a pejorative way lately in culture and in media.
Isn't it terrible that, that you love Christ and your nation? You're a terrible person, Ellen.
But you kind of point out right at the top of the article that this is just kind of quoting the Declaration of Independence, right?
Right. There was a talking head who went viral because she condemned Christian nationalists, and she made the distinction, not Christianity, but Christian nationalists are people who believe in the Declaration. She didn't use the word Declaration of Independence, but said, that our rights come from God. Gee, where have I heard that before? Maybe it is the Declaration of Independence. And who was that written by? Oh, wait, Thomas Jefferson, who was not really a very devout Christian and certainly not a nationalist. So I guess we're all going to have to sign up and call ourselves Christian nationalists by that definition. It's kind of silly.
Okay, so but what is the point? I mean, I know they're trying to be derogatory, but what's the point behind this, David?
The point is to scare people away by saying that any idea that comes from Christianity is there, and Christianity in public in particular, is tarred with the nastiest word in politics, and that's nationalism. And then combine that for non-believers, they don't like Christianity. Christianity has gone from cool to not cool in the public world. So Christian nationalists, take the two worst terms that we can find in contemporary politics, put them together. That describes, in the view of certain people, the perspective of anybody who thinks that our laws, our culture, should have any aspect of Judeo-Christian morality or ideas. So, you know, that would, of course, include things like human dignity, which is born out of the Judeo-Christian worldview. Really, what's at issue here is that they are upset. They don't want any Christian morality being imposed on them, as once was the case, once upon a time in this wonderful country of ours. Things like no-fault divorce. Fault divorce was in the law. There were laws against adultery. There were laws against abortion. These are all things that have been overturned within the last 50 years as our country's legal system has gone from a governing perspective of one based on Christianity to one based on what's been called expressive individualism, meaning the will of the individual is what is paramount in society, and the law needs to be driven in such a way so that the individual gets what he wants. So if the individual wants an abortion, he gets an abortion. If the individual wants to get a divorce, he gets a divorce. If he wants to look at pornography, he gets to look at pornography, and so on. So I should stop here and just make a point, general point, and say that all laws don't just drop out of the sky. Laws are reflective of a people and what they deem as valuable. So that they're expressing something. So once upon a time, when this was in a majority Christian, overwhelmingly majority Christian nation, our laws were exactly such. And we still have hangover laws in that respect. Lots of our stuff about human dignity, civil rights, caring for the disabled. Those are all things that come directly from Christianity's belief that we must love our neighbor as love ourselves, and particularly have a preferential option for the poor. So those are things that are still popular, of course. But the morality thing, that's been rejected since the sexual revolution by many. So as a result, we need, according to them, we need to take away all aspects of Christianity. It's all bad because they're not letting us do what we want. So expressive individualism is an expressive perspective of another philosophy, an anti-Christian philosophy that says I can do whatever I want with whom I want, how I want it, and I need the government to make sure that I have the right to be able to do that.
Well, that doesn't sound like a pleasant place to live. I'm telling you.
It's where we live right
now. I
know.
It's why it's so uncomfortable. They kind of forget that not only baked into our laws that were founded by the Creator and our rights come from Him, those issues like of justice and mercy, you were talking about civil rights and stuff, those all have Christian roots as well. So it sounds like they're like at the smorgasbord, David, where they're picking and choosing what they want and then throwing out the other things that cut into their having fun or living the life in the most freeing way possible without any responsibility. So they want kind of all the rights without the responsibility. And a lot of those rights and responsibility come from our Christian roots and our Christian founders.
That's exactly right. And that's a great distinction, the rights versus responsibility. In this case, the things that are popular are things of caring for one's neighbor. And the people, partisans of the Christian nationalism label, are the ones that they try to abstract human dignity and civil rights from the Christian framework and just say, well, it's the right thing to do to love one another or to take care of the poor and so on. But when what happens when that is that view is extracted from its Christian principle that all human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, we get an unequal application. So in this view, who is not protected under the law? And that would be the unborn, because the unborn are silent and their will conflicts with the will of someone who's larger and has, oh, gee, I don't want this child. This is not what I want for me. So therefore, I'm going to get rid of it. So once we take these laws out of, or these perspectives of human dignity and civil rights and so on, out of the Christian framework that guarantees protection for all people precisely because they are created by God and for no other reason, we have problems immediately. So we have abortion, and then we have euthanasia, of course, is popular now on the other side of life. In Canada, it's a really big deal. We have 10 states now that have so-called aid in dying laws on the books. So gradually we're chipping away at the foundation of human dignity, which doesn't come from nature, although nature is part of it. It comes from God, who created the nature and endowed it, made it special. Because what makes human nature and human beings special as opposed to any other animal nature is the source of humanity, and that is God himself.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, though, David, because we're simply reaping what we've sown. And in that understanding, I had a conversation with a 30-year-old atheist, and he was like, well, you know, what's the problem, Todd? You know, because he himself is really a high moralist. And I said, yeah, but you're an unusual person in that you still want to live an ethical life. But what is that based on? I said, you're breathing in the Judeo-Christian principles that were established. And I said, you know, the whole aspect, the word culture comes from the root cult, which means what a people worships. And what do we worship now? I mean, whatever we can buy on Amazon. I mean, I just think this is going to get worse, David.
I agree in the sense that there, in the immediate future, there's no prospect for change. I mean, we have to keep fighting and doing our thing, because I believe very strongly that, you know, the world changes on a dime by the power of God's grace. If you think of Constantine's conversion to Christianity, who would have predicted that? Right, this emperor, Romans were persecuting the Christians for centuries at this point, and all of a sudden, an emperor sees a vision, wins a battle, and legalizes Christianity and changes the entire course of history. So the power of God is never to be ignored or cast aside, or to think that we're ever doomed or in a lost cause. But for the time being, where are we on a legally speaking? Unfortunately for Christians, we've been put for the last, say, 20 years in a defensive posture, meaning that when we're adjudicating such issues of morality in court, we are forced to hide behind the label of religious liberty, meaning that, oh, so just say, take the transgender phenomenon, that, oh, if I don't want to call you by your so-called preferred pronouns, then I am I transgressing your rights? But the response has been, no, I am exercising my religious right, my conscience, that says men and women are created equal. Now, that's fine as far as arguments go, but it also objectivizes things and puts things, the basis for law, in one's own head, as opposed to externally, that the world is based on an order that's created by God, which is how our country was founded, and the background from which our Constitution was crafted. So we're in a difficult spot as Christians right now, without question. But we need to keep fighting, and we need to keep praying, because miracles do happen, and God is in control, and He'll let us suffer, because Good Friday is part of the plan of salvation. But nevertheless, Good Easter Sunday is the ultimate plan of God that we have to look forward to. So however this plays out in our daily lives and in the next 10 and 20 and 50 years in our country, well, that's maybe not the fun part, but it's certainly the exciting part of God choosing us to live here and now in this world and put us with these particular challenges that we have as believers.
You lay out in the article a way that Catholics in particular have had to been able to manage in the past when we have been the minority, particularly in the founding of the country. You call it the creative minority. Maybe you can break that down, because it might give people some sort of clarity and hope of how we can manage the situation.
Yes. So the idea of a creative minority comes from 100 years ago, but it was baptized by Cardinal Ratzinger and then used by Pope Benedict, in the sense that in this post-Christian world, Christians are able to be salt and light to the culture in which they live as minorities and bring it hope and also peace. So what would be the ways to do that? Well, Cardinal Ratzinger or Pope Benedict recommended three. One was through engagement with people who are agnostic. A second way is through education. And the third way is through building up our own faith within our families and communities. Now, how was that done before in this country? Well, really, the entire history of American Catholicism is exactly that. We've always been in a minority in this country. Never have Catholics been more than 25% of the population. And it's easy to forget that even when all laws were Christian-based, go back to the 19th century, say, right now people are yelling and screaming about Arizona's abortion law from 1864, which outlawed abortion in almost every circumstance. Even when that was the case, Catholics were still treated with disdain by the elite of this country, by the ruling classes, because they were believed to be this loyal to this foreign operative, the Pope, and to do with all these weird Catholic things and rituals. So we've always been in a precarious spot in this country. Catholics have always loved their native land, as rightly they should, but also have never been 100% welcome here. But how did the Catholics become such a great force in this country? I'm standing here in New York City in a large five-story school with beautiful architecture across the street from a stunningly beautiful church, both of which were built in the early 20th century. The only reason why those things were built is because Catholics believed, Catholics prayed, they worked hard, and they realized that building these institutions was a great way not just to show their faith, but also to build up posterity with beauty and with the power of what Catholicism can bring to people. So we have that to continue to do. We have that model of all those early Catholics who built these universities and these schools, parish schools, and built parishes with almost no money. And they made these things, their things are beautiful. When we think of the way we build things today, we're so concerned about the bottom line. Down the road from me at St. Patrick's Cathedral, that was built by poor, with the money from poor Irishmen who tithed and gave whatever sense they had in order to build something magnificent for God and for the community. So that's the way that Catholics can continue to work in this country, even though it's become hostile, the country has become hostile to religion largely on the elite level. We still have to fortify our families. We still have to teach our children. And thanks be to God, we still have the legal means to do that in our Catholic schools and Catholic universities. And we have to can't be afraid to engage the culture, whether it be through radio media, internet media, television media, books, and so on. We have a better argument at the end of the day, and we as Catholics can't be afraid to continue to push that into the public square.
Not only do we have the better argument, but I think we need to back it up with a life well lived, David. Our mail lady stopped at our house, and I thought we had a package, and I was like, Jacinta, did my wife order something on Amazon? You know, just joking around with her. And she goes, no, I just wanted to thank you. The other day I was having a bad day and your son ran to the mailbox and hugged me just out of the blue. She goes, y'all are the nicest people on my route. And I'm like, okay, that's how we do it. Does that make sense, David?
100%. The saints are the greatest witnesses and the greatest teachers.
Got that.
Amen. That's the creative minority.
Yeah, there you are.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about right there.
Definitely. We keep building the hospitals, the churches, the schools. We will influence the culture. David Bonagura, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Check out his good work at thecatholicthing.org.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Todd and Ellen. A pleasure as always.
Oh, great. Have a great day.
Good stuff.
Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the news of the week. Todd, you pointed out something beautiful going on.
Yes, on the cover of the Catholic Week. We're going to be talking about it, so stay with us.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Is this sound a nightmare in your house? Dr. Brandon O'Donnell at Alabama Smile Design can help. They're excited to offer a new solution called Nightlace. Nightlace is laser therapy that significantly reduces snoring. The process is simple, literally painless, and can be done in a couple of lunch breaks. Call 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Let Alabama Smile Design help you sleep better.
Good morning, and God bless you. Today is Monday in the fourth week of Easter, April 22nd.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now, on behalf of Archangel Radio, go out and proclaim the great news of Jesus Christ.
We're only 2 weeks away from the Archangel Radio Spring Pledge Drive on May 7th through the 9th. This year's Pledge Drive will be hosted by Tom Riello, Pat Ahrensberg, and Todd Sylvester. Join them as they talk with various priests throughout the Archdiocese as they help us reach our goal of $105,000. Remember, we are listener-supported, and we need your help so we can continue to broadcast all that is good, true, and beautiful in the Archdiocese. That's the Archangel Radio Spring Pledge Drive, May 7th through the 9th.
We are the people of hope. We are the people of the resurrection. We have a reason for the hope that lies within us.
Faith without works is dead, as James says. So let's always put our faith into action.
Put your faith into action by listening to Archangel Radio.
Lights will guide you.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, and Reed. If you got the Catholic Week this weekend, which if you didn't, you should contact the Catholic Week and go, "Hey, where's my Catholic Week? What's up with that?"
Yes.
But mine came
every registered
Friday.
Person gets it.
And when I opened it up and looked at the front page, there's a picture of someone praying, obviously down at the cathedral, because you see the Archbishop Rohde's chair there. No priest left behind. And I was like, okay, that caught my attention. What do we mean by that? And I read about this beautiful thing called the Women Apostolate, where it's called the Seven Sisters. And the website is sevensistersapostolate.org. Let me make sure if I'm getting
sevensistersapostolate.org,
which was started by a woman, Susan Como, up in Minnesota. And this is the beautiful thing, is that she just one day was like, you know what? I need to start praying for our priest, which that's a great thing. I would hope that everyone would agree with that. Like, oh, yeah, we need to pray for our priests, because, you know, the whole aspect, you've heard the term, that someone had one job. They only had one job. Well, right. priests have like 1,000 jobs. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we're expecting them to excel at all of them.
Yeah, of course.
So not only do we want them to say the Mass beautifully and reverently and give these incredible homilies and then be available for the anointing of the sick 24 hours a day, which they are. We want them to baptize. We want them to do this and that and all these things. We also want them to be incredible administrators and to run basically a business, which is what a parish is. And we want them to be able to do everything wonderfully. Well, there's a lot on that's on their shoulders. And the responsibility is tremendous because we absolutely need priests for sacramental grace. Mm-hmm. Okay. No matter how reverently I take a piece of bread and say, this is my body, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Only a priest can turn bread and wine into God. Only a priest can sacramentally do these things. Only a priest can forgive sins in the first person. It's incredible. So what they're doing, this whole thing just came about where she's like, we need to pray for the priest. And then she realized, well, wait, I can't pray for the priest every single day for like an hour because she felt kind of called to do a holy hour for her priest. So she went before the Blessed Sacrament. She prayed holy hour. Well, then she invited 6 more women to each pick a day. Mm-hmm. So they each pick a day. So let's say your day is Monday. Today, you would sometime today, and they even said it doesn't necessarily even have to be at the particular parish. Like here we have our Adoration Chapel at Christ the King. Over in Mobile, they have the Adoration Chapel at St. Ignatius. You could go before the Blessed Sacrament and simply pray for an hour for your priest. Everybody picks a day. And this woman in particular, she said she travels a lot. So she's been praying for her priest all over the country. You know, but to me, I just think that that's a beautiful thing.
You know, it's sometimes in the simplest things that there's great love and commitment. You know, we think we can't do this or that's too complicated over there at the church. I'm going to go home and I'll just write them an email that it's too cold in the Mass this week or whatever it is. But this is doing something concrete. I'm just a little disappointed. I saw the list that we didn't have one praying for our parish priest here.
We don't, not yet.
Well, maybe someone will sign up then. No, now you're looking at me.
I am.
I know.
Because isn't that how this works?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. So you
when we always
me
go, shouldn't,
things, yes.
shouldn't somebody else be doing these things?
But that's why I have you over there. I just pass you notes during the show.
Uh-huh.
But to your point, that is a good point. We are always saying somebody else should be doing this.
Well, but hang on. Let's talk about this for a second. The commitment that we're talking about is 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an hour every day.
Right.
It's 1 hour. All you have to do is find 6 other people. And although this has 7 sisters, I'm thinking, why can't guys be doing this? I don't understand that.
Oh, look at it. I like your equality.
Right now, presently, it's being done at the cathedral, at Corpus Christi, St. Ignatius, the Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Student Center at the University of South Alabama, which is not even a parish, by the way, and they're able to do it, St. Philip Neri, and then Our Lady of the Gulf and Gulf Shores.
All right.
So if your parish is not on this list, listeners, then we need to get going. And it's not even something you need to officially sign up for anywhere. I mean, it is kind of cool how quickly it has grown. They said now it's in 23 countries.
Oh, wow.
Already.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 28 countries. You ready for this?
Yeah.
4,000 groups.
4,000. Wow.
4,000 groups already because I think it's simplicity. It started back in 2011 when she just felt this calling, and it was funny. She was praying and she heard in her heart 7 sisters, and she thought, oh, I must have heard that wrong. I'll pray the 7 sorrowful, you know, mysteries,
right?
You know, the rosary of the 7 sorrows. Mm-hmm. And then it kept coming back, 7 sisters. And then she realized, oh, I'm supposed to do something. So it's simple and beautiful.
I think what is shockingly beautiful about it is that it's not a complicated ministry. It doesn't take a lot. You don't need a building. You don't need bylaws.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's not even the specifics of how you're praying.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like, okay, now you have to pray these particular prayers and you have to pray the rosary and you have to do it this way. And then you have to lift your hands this particular way. No. No, just go spend time with our Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I even remember, you know, when we were doing a prayer vigil one time, and the person was like, is it okay if I mention other intentions when I'm there before Jesus? Mm-hmm. Of course.
Oh, no, only the assigned ones.
I know, God's not like, oh, you're wasting this time. You're praying for other stuff. I thought you were supposed to be praying for this intention. It's like, calm down, everybody. You're there with God. Mm-hmm. And God, by the way, multiplies things anyway.
Oh, that is funny. Sometimes we overthink our praying.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, really.
Just
really.
A pouring out of your heart. Sometimes I'll just, you know, but when I'm running through prayers, it'll just be like some random thing that I'm praying for. Oh, that dam that burst over there in Thailand or something,
right,
you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
Sometimes there's things that I have read through the day and just kind of putting it out there. You know, who knows what people what people are not getting enough prayers because we just don't take the time to throw at everything.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a dartboard. Here, God, I'm throwing everything at you. This over there, did you notice this needs a little bit of attention?
Well, which is probably why when we pray our rosary, our family rosary, I always say for the Blessed Mother's intentions, because I figure on top of everything specifically that I'm saying, you know, with our family and with our needs and the things that have come up, like so-and-so's in the hospital and, you know, all of those things that happen, I know I'm covered.
Right, yeah.
Because the Blessed Mother is always going to instill the graces where they're most needed. So even with my specifics, I know that everything's going to be taken care of. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't perhaps know that or think that, you know, it's always a challenge. How do I, this is turning into a how do I pray thing. But it's interesting because a lot of people don't know how to pray. I encountered somebody when I was still working in commercial radio, and they knew I was Catholic, and I went to church, and I did a lot of things, and they were like, I don't even know how to pray. Nobody ever taught me.
Wow.
And I thought that was the saddest thing, because we just think it perhaps as people of faith or raised in families that practice their faith that everyone kind of knows how to pray, but they don't. Should it be an organized prayer? Could it just be me crying out to the Lord? And you realize so many people, we talk about why the world is so lost, that they don't even know our Father, the Creator, or how to even reach out to Him in the most basic of ways, which is prayer.
Well, and we're not orienting ourselves, our whole selves, towards God. Like, you know, we just started back, my son and I, in praying the Office of Readings and morning prayer together.
Okay.
And on Sundays and solemnities, there's a beautiful hymn from the 4th century called the Te Deum, which is God, we praise thee. And that's what it comes from. And it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. You'd almost guess that it was a psalm, but it's not. It's just a separate hymn. And as I'm reading through it, I'm like, this is why we all struggle so much, is because we're not orienting ourselves towards God. You only have one throne in your heart, Ellen. There's only one.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So either God is there or He's not. Like, there's no in between. There's no, you know, as St. Therese of Lisieux says, you can't be 50% a saint. You're either 100% a saint or you're not one. Like, there's not like, well, I'm so close. It's like, well, no.
Well, I would say only in the fact that you're striving to be more saintly or more holy. Like, yeah, I'm not there yet, but I know what I need to disregard or root out from my life in order to get there.
But I'm going to argue that you understand that there's still growth in your life, but you actually are there. You are there. If God is on the throne of your heart, that doesn't mean that we don't have imperfections. It doesn't mean that we're still struggling, but God is where He belongs. He's on the throne of your heart. And in the course of our day, we're either living that sanctity and striving, or the focus is elsewhere. And the focus, by the way, oftentimes is not on bad things. I mean, this is where, as you grow in the spiritual life, this is where Satan gets really cunning.
Yeah,
in that he'll put something good in front of you and go, oh, shouldn't you be doing this? Like, okay, Sunday we drove to a friend's house and we went past this huge sports complex here in Fairhope, and every single soccer field was full.
Okay.
And I mean, they had multiple, there must have been, I don't know, 10 soccer fields and completely covered. And I thought, on a Sunday, on a Sunday, and it was after we had had mass and brunch. So it was, you know, I don't know, around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But I still thought, I don't know if that's the way we should be spending the Lord's Day. I know I'm going to get angry emails over that one, but
listen, Todd, I had a tournament.
Well, but I don't know. You know, it's like, now that to them is important. Like the sports is important. That's good. Sports have good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then but family. Right. They might say family.
Ranking it.
That's good.
Yeah.
But it's like, where is God? Like, is he on the throne of your heart? That really should be the question that we're asking ourselves every day, not only at the beginning of the day, but all throughout the day. Is God on the throne of our hearts? Like, is he the most important one or thing in our life? And if not, then we need to make the adjustments so he's back there.
I think that's where people, they cringe, they pull back. Because, Todd, my kid's in travel soccer. I gotta be there on Sundays. And it is a challenge for a lot of families because you want to balance your kids' needs. But let's face it, how many of our kids are going to go on and play professional soccer or even get a college scholarship?
Right.
Is your time better spent? And I'm say this as someone who played sports as a kid and stuff, but I think back then we didn't travel.
Certainly didn't play
and we
on
didn't
Sunday.
Play on Sunday.
No.
Yes. And when I describe my, you know, youth softball experience to what parents have to do today for their kids in sports, it's unbelievable. We'd practice maybe twice a week and have a game on Saturday mornings. And that was it. You all go home. The rest of your life is yours.
Right.
Now it's daily practices, two-a-days. You know, it's so overwhelming. And we really have to, and I'm not pointing out kids' sports just because it's kids' sports, because there's a lot of things, you know. Guys want to be the best golfer in their foursome on the weekend. Well, I got to get out there and practice. Or whatever it is that you're doing, gaming, you know, I'm in the Fortnite tournament, whatever. We have so many activities and things that are really, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, are not really edifying to our life or to our souls that we spend countless hours participating in.
And all of us, we have to be cautious about where we're being pulled in all sorts of different directions.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so even this weekend, you know, you mentioned about doing yard work and things like that. I pulled vines for an hour and a half.
Oh, it's vine season. It's awful.
Okay.
Awful.
And, but then I did it with my sons, and, you know, afterwards we kind of celebrated that all the vines were done.
You got two sons? I could have used one at my house. For
you
the
had
vine
your sister.
Pulling.
Your twin sister was there. So you're good. You're covered. But it's we have to reevaluate and make sure that we're trying to align our lives with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
In the busyness of our lives, you know, the question my wife, when people come to her and they're like, okay, I need more peace in my life. You know, I'm struggling with this anxiety as being a mom and trying to run the household and everything. And oftentimes my wife, the first question she'll ask is, are you all having dinner as a family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for many of them, they kind of roll their eyes. They're like, well, if you mean driving through Chick-fil-A and eating in our Suburban, then yes.
Yeah, I
it's
know,
like,
that's
no,
sad.
That's not what I mean. It's like, are you sitting down and eating together as a family? You know, not in the hustle and the bustle. It's like, I think sometimes we need to reevaluate our lives and possibly, you know, pull out of certain activities. And I will admit, I'm going to admit right now on the air, my kids have not had the opportunities that a lot of other people have, a lot of other children, because of our mindset that we don't want to be involved in a lot of the sports and in a lot of the other activities because we prefer to just kind of be home and eat dinner together.
Well, and that's a hard challenge to dinner together. If you're moving that high on your priority list, sometimes you're moving dinner time to be 7:30 at night then, or sometimes it's 4 o'clock before the evening practice or whatever it is, or other times it's saying we're not going to participate in that. And so those are hard choices for a lot of people that feel like they got to compete and keep up. But they're choices to be made because I think in the long run, when you want to look at your child in 20 years or you want to look at your family structure in 20 years, you know, what is, are all those things going to keep you together in 20 years by racing your kid around to practice or participating in golf tournaments with your buddies or something? That's not really going to have a lasting effect what family dinner night might have 20 years from now.
Well, if they ask the question, what's number one in your life? Mm-hmm. Who's on the throne? Who's on the throne?
Right. Jesus. Throne in your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good. We started off the week good, Todd. Oh, coming up. Wait, I don't have my glasses on.
Jack Rabarchuk.
Jack Rabarchuk.
Thank you.
To talk about Men of St. Joseph.
There we go.
You don't want to miss it, so stay with us.
Then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Enjoy Alabama's Gulf Coast with Ike's Parasail. Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company servicing Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. Ike's Parasail also offers banana boat rides, paddleboard, and kayak rentals. Flyers can enjoy approximately 10 minutes in the air, either solo or accompanied by one or two people. Make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience with us at Ike's Parasail. For more information, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail. Come fly away.
Here's your community calendar for the week of April 22nd. St. Benedict Catholic School in Alberta's annual German Fest, Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 6 p.m. Join them for German sausage, homemade baked treats, raffle, and tons of fun. For more information, visit stbenedict.net. Stakeout, Saturday, April 27th from 6 to 10 p.m. at St. Mary's Catholic School in Mobile. Come enjoy unlimited steak tasting, catered side dishes, drinks, live music, auction, and killer raffle prizes. Tickets are $75 in advance, $100 at the door. Visit stmarysteakout.com for more information and to purchase tickets. A men's retreat for fathers. The journey, becoming the father you are meant to be. This retreat is for all fathers, married, single, blended families, grandfathers, and more. April 26th through the 28th at Visitation Monastery in Mobile. Single rooms available. For more information, contact John Hart at johnh@ctkdaphne.org or call 251-367-4799. Check out our community calendar on our website and send us your events 2 weeks in advance to office@archangelradio.com. I'm Shannon Garner. Have a blessed day.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
We don't have to do the heavy lifting. God is going to do it for us. We just have to open up ourselves to it and be ready for what he has for us to do. And it's amazing. It's like instead of pushing, he's pulling us in.
Here's Dr. Randall Smith on the difference between mindfulness and prayer.
Prayer is talking to God. Mindfulness is just clearing your mind of things. You can find different definitions of it. We really have to understand that prayer is got to be addressed to God. It's a dialogue with God and not just with ourselves or with an empty universe.
Open up a dialogue with God by listening to Archangel Radio.
There are times when I think to myself, God is just like my mother, constantly reminding me of everything she's ever told me to do. And he's still doing it. 2,000, 5,000 years later, still reminding us of the simple truth that he is love, calls us to love him, and he calls us to love one another.
Listen to your mother, and while you're at it, listen daily to Archangel Radio.
Somewhere between Foley, Summerdale, Robertsdale, I can't remember where it was, it's a great big red billboard with white letters, and it had three words, Jesus is Lord. And more often than not, I would drive by that billboard and say, I know he is, but is he really Lord of my life? I would always say that to myself. And so if he's Lord of our lives, then we have to let him rule us in that sense, not as a master ruling a slave, but as a shepherd guiding us to those places where he wants us to go.
Find out more about how Jesus can be the shepherd in your life by listening daily to Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.
Is that because Jack's young? Is that the music?
Men of St. Joseph, man. They're heroes.
Okay, there you go.
Got it.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Todd Sylvester, Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, Reed, and in studio, Jack Rabarchek here to speak to us about the Men of St. Joseph. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Okay, I don't normally start an interview with this question, but what year were you born? Or no, hang on. Let's do this. No, hang on.
I've told you you can't ask people their ages on the air. You can't.
How old were you in 1997?
Oh, no.
I was one.
You were one. Because that's how old I remember you. Because I got to St. Ignatius in 97 and absolutely love your family. So I remember, golly, yeah, you were 1 year old. How crazy is that?
It's wild.
And here you are.
Just certifies it, you're old.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. Now, your dad, Jim, was he part of that first initial group with Men of St. Joseph?
Yes, he was. I think it was back in 2006 was the first when the Men of St. Joseph started at St. Ignatius.
Yeah, yeah, which is pretty awesome. All right, so talk to us then. I guess you grew up with it, right?
Yeah, so my dad, I guess, grew up, I guess, kind of always doing his devotion in the morning. And so I don't really know if I've just kind of modeled that or just kind of taken that in and then... Some mornings when I would come back from Auburn on Tuesday mornings or Christmas break or spring break, if I was in town, he would just say, hey, come up to Men of St. Joseph. You don't even have to talk. Just come up there and just listen.
Right.
So I started doing that. And then once I moved up to Nashville after school, we had a Men of St. Joseph group up there, became part of that. Then we moved back to Fairhope and started going to St. Lawrence. And so it's been really great to be able to do that.
And talk to us about the model of Men of St. Joseph, because, you know, oftentimes if you tell a guy, hey, we're going to be praying for like an hour, you know, they're like,
Yeah. So how it starts, I guess it follows all of the Magnificat. And so we basically have about 30 minutes or so of a few prayers, kind of high, low God moments type thing. Mm-hmm. And then each member, every week, we have a different member do discussion or their reflection of the gospel for the following Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Or the upcoming Sunday.
The upcoming Sunday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so then the last, like, 15 minutes is really just kind of discussion, and this is what it meant to me, this is how it's practical in my life, this is what we can take away, and just really just discussion about, you know, how we can be, you know, the spiritual leaders of your family and how, you know, your kids are watching you at every moment. Mm-hmm. No matter if you think they're listening or you think they're watching, they always are.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, what is tremendous about that in a whole lot of levels, Jim, is that naturally men don't congregate. Men, you know, we have this Lone Ranger syndrome in us. And I just got back from a men's retreat a couple weeks ago. And every single guy in my small group, I mean, some breaking down to tears, talked about how they're going home after this wonderful experience, and they have no one to talk with, no other men to talk with about their experiences, whereas every Tuesday morning, you get to do that, don't you?
Yeah, and that's another one of the greatest things is just like, there's so many things that are going on in your life on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, most of those things you want to share with your significant other, your spouse, but, like, you need to have kind of like a group of guys that, you know, you want to talk, like, real issues with, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. Do you guys struggle with this? How do y'all come up? How do y'all, you know, how do y'all handle this? How do you get out of it? You know, as opposed to, you know, in our secular world that we live in today, whether it's, you know, turn into drugs or alcohol or whatever it is to soothe those temptations to be able to get out of that. And so being able to have those guys that are going to be able to run with you and kind of you can call on stuff that matters, things that happen that you may not be able to, I don't really want to talk to my dad about it. I don't really want to talk to, you know, my little sister or whoever about
it. Right.
These are the guys that are going to be able to help you with that.
I think that's good because we, as women, we kind of find where those other cliques of women are, and we can find a way to connect with a woman. And after 10 minutes, we're
your
solving
besties.
Problems. Yes, we're solving problems together. Men are a little bit more; they get a little bit more focused on task at hand. So it might be their job, it might be what needs to be fixed around the house or taking care of the family. So far down on the list is maybe developing friendships, especially deep, meaningful friendships. And that's really hard. And it takes time, too. So those things don't happen like overnight. What you do is you encounter like-minded people and you start to encounter them in various places. And then you're like, oh, this is good. This is a good guy. This is, you know, somebody I, you know, could rely on or share something with. And I think what Men of St. Joseph does is it gives you the time and space to do those things. And then something that men are always searching for, those deeper friendships, can develop out of that, but in a fully well-balanced way that our world doesn't really recognize now. You know, our world might recognize male friendship as, you know, in the old days, going to the bowling alley, you know, or going to a pub and drinking or something like that. But you kind of want the fullness of what it is to be a faithful man in today's culture, given the challenges that you have to face leading families. And so I think that that, more than anything, gives you the space and then all the good things that come with it.
Yeah.
You know? So now you're at St. Lawrence, and we have a Men of St. Joseph. This is our parish too, Todd's and mine. So, but there hasn't always, has there always been Men of St. Joseph here? Is this one of the newer parishes? Or I guess start with where people can find Men of St. Joseph.
Yeah, so Men of St. Joseph, you can find it, I guess, on, I guess, our website. I think it's www.menofstjoseph.com.
Yes. Yeah, menofstjoseph.com.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you can pull that up, and we have over 90 chapters, I guess, throughout the country, and I think 4 or 5 international chapters. And you can basically click on your state, and then you can go to...
They do have them here, yeah.
You can click on your parish or your city,
uh-huh,
and it tells you all the different parishes that are having the Men of St. Joseph group. Or if you don't have one,
right,
here's the tools of how you could start one. And this is how you're able to do it.
Auburn, Daphne, Fairhope, Dothan.
There you go. Well, talk to us, though, Jack, because you probably are of the younger demographic of the Men of St. Joseph, at least here in our parish, correct?
Yes.
All right, but what benefits are you getting? As a young dad, you got 2 small kids, both still in diapers. I mean, so some of these guys that you're with are actually retired. So it's quite the gamut, right?
Yeah, so it's a little bit... I don't know. It's kind of interesting, I guess, because the older guys that are there, they have a lot more wisdom, obviously, than I do. And so they're kind of able to kind of bounce ideas off of me that maybe I've never heard of, or stuff in the gospel or scriptures in the gospel that they've seen happen, or stories that we share together that just kind of stick with you from day to day, or, you know, week to week meetings that we have. And so they also just have so many other resources that, hey, you know, I know one of my family friends that, you know, I think you would be great, you know, to go meet, and y'all would be great together. You come to Men of St. Joseph, they're trying to get involved, you know, maybe we can meet up and y'all can go to dinner, or, you know, go do something. And so especially for, I guess, like the younger group of guys that we're trying to appeal to, it's like, you know, nobody has time for anything.
Yeah.
Everybody's so busy. Everyone has so much stuff on their plate. But if we can just, like, it's 1 hour a week, it's before work even starts, and then, like, you're done for the day. It's 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning on Tuesdays, and you're done for the day. And then you already have the reflection going into Sundays, especially when you have kids and you can't really... You're not really that involved in Mass on Sunday because you got one kid on one arm and one kid on the other.
Oh, yeah.
And so having that, I guess, reflection and discussion already beforehand is super huge to be able to just kind of take that into Mass already.
Well, what was the initial attraction then? I mean, where you're like, oh, I better go to Men of St. Joseph because my dad's going to ask.
No, I think it's really just like, I kind of need that community. I don't really... Me and my wife were great together, love her so much, but, like, I need some other guys that are going to be able to run with Amen. Me and things that I struggle with, not necessarily she's going to struggle with.
Right.
And so this just kind of gives me those guys that are able to kind of bounce those ideas off of and just really help me get through the struggles of, you know, day-to-day life.
What would you say to a guy who's listening? Like, yeah, I kind of need that, but I don't know about walking into a church meeting. Like, how do you put that first foot in the doorway? What could you share with them that'd be like, huh?
I would just say, just take a chance, you know, yeah. I would just take a chance. And,
or like, you know, Nike, just do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That may be uh-huh. better, you know? Yeah.
I mean, is there any preparation that they need at all? They can yeah. just show up.
You don't need your Catholic card.
No, yeah. you don't need anything. You show up and you don't even have to speak. You can just listen and take it all in. And so we're a friendly group. We're not going to, you know, shun you or, you know.
Or over-invite you on yeah, the first meeting.
Yeah.
Listen, here's our sign-up sheet.
But I'll tell yeah. you, I used to go to Men of St. Joseph before I started doing this radio show, mm-hmm. which unfortunately conflicts with that time, Ellen.
Now you want me to change time.
But I always walked away a better person. I was a better man. Mm-hmm. Even just with 1 hour of being with these guys. But because just as you said, I mean, I have a degree in theology. And sometimes some of these guys who have never studied theology in their lives would say something so profound mm-hmm. that I was like, wow, I'm going to be meditating on that all week long. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's why the Men of St. Joseph exists, right, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it really is. And, you know, it's just so great to have that just community with, you know, these guys that some people may not be able to find, you know, if they've moving from, you know, a different state or a different county. And they're just like, look, man, I'm just trying to get involved. You know, I want to yeah. start like a small group. I want some younger people that are going to be able to, how do we do this? You know, I'm a young Catholic. I kind of want to get involved. I'm out of college. I want to figure out what I'm doing. You know, I want some type of purpose or what I can do, you know?
Amen. So most of the chapters, they meet Tuesday mornings, right?
I think so.
6:30
yes.
a.m.
menofstjoseph.com. Jack, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, yes, ma'am. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jack.
Appreciate
so
it. Oh.
Yeah, that'd be you.
I'm getting it. We thank our L.A. Catholic Morning sponsor, Ike's Parasail, locations Orange, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Perdido Key. Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company serving Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. To make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail, come fly away. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Father Pat Driscoll talks about the four keys to good prayer. We'll talk with Father Tad Paholczyk about Catholic Ministries for Mental Health. And Claire Ansberry shares the mental health benefits linked to going to church.
All right, so we all understand that we should be doing whatever we need to be doing to get closer to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because we need to bring His gospel with our lives everywhere that we go today. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.